Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the Lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on July 16th and 17th, 2020, here in Columbia. And just so you know, some of this information in the podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features the latest on Senator Lindsey Graham's attempts to reshore medical manufacturing jobs to the United States, recent polling on how South Carolinians feel about masks, working from home, and more. And we hear more about what parents can do about the MIS-C disease that affects children. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from you all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169 with your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world. We love hearing from you. We love knowing what's going on, how you're dealing with the COVID-19 virus with you, your family, and friends. Let us know, 803-563-7169. And a programming note. Since March, the South Carolina Lead has delivered to you 52 dedicated COVID-19 episodes. That's right, we've brought you a year's worth of content in 4 months, and we continue to look forward to delivering these episodes for the foreseeable future. So again, if you haven't called in, leave us a message. We want to hear from you. We've been hearing from a lot of great South Carolinians and some from around the globe. So 803-563-7169.
And now, like we do in every episode, here is the current situation. Currently in South Carolina, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing and not contained, according to the Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 1,780 deaths and 65,857 cases reported in all 46 counties as of July 17th at 4:30 p.m. In just the last 24 hours, there have been 1,964 new cases and 25 deaths. There are currently 1,593 hospitalized with COVID-19, and 214 of those are on ventilators. We surpassed 1,000 deaths on July 16th, and the day also marked a high of 69 deaths in a single 24-hour period. DHEC said there were some delays in reporting as medical professionals worked to ensure a patient's death was accurately reported as COVID-19 related, which is why those deaths are so high. Just know you can be assured that if there's any new information or pertinent information, we will include it in our episodes.
And we have a little bit of an abbreviated politics section in this episode. Senator Lindsey Graham has sent a letter to the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, urging the Trump administration to include provisions of Graham's legislation, the U.S. MAID Act, into any Phase 4 relief package that may come before Congress. Graham's office says the senior senator will formally introduce the U.S. MAID Act next week in the Senate. The bill, which is similar to the 1941 Berry Amendment that required certain items purchased by the Department of Defense, like uniforms, be made entirely in the country. Graham's bill establishes a medical production tax credit to help American manufacturers build out and retrofit factories to meet increased PPE demand. And eligible manufacturers would receive a 30% credit against equipment costs associated with PPE manufacturing. So we'll see where that bill goes next week. And in light of 8 federal lawsuits and massive opposition, the Trump administration is no longer threatening to revoke visas of international students studying in America whose schools plan to have fall classes exclusively online. A November 2019 report from the Institute of International Education found during the 2018-2019 academic year that there were more than 1 million international students in the United States. The report also found that international students contributed $44.7 billion to the U.S. economy in 2018. We start off our business section looking at an increase in unemployment insurance benefit claims for the week ending July 11th, which saw 19,329 South Carolinians make initial claims, which is an increase of 3,267 from the week prior. Now, this brings the initial claims total to just over 671,000 since mid-March, according to the South Carolina Department of Employment and Workforce. DOE Executive Director Dan Elzey says this increase isn't surprising, and the week following the July 4th has historically recorded a higher number of initial claims as it represents layoffs and closings for the holiday week. While this year's initial claims total is significantly higher in volume, the percentage increase, 20.3%, is significantly lower than in 2018 and 2019, and it is believed that this trend is isolated and isn't solely pinpointed to impacts from COVID-19. Also, the Federal Pandemic Unemployment Compensation Program, which provides an additional $600 a week to claimants, expires on July 25th. So just a reminder, after that date, eligible claimants will only receive their weekly benefit amount from the state. Moving on, the marketing communications firm Chernoff Newman came out with recent polling looking at South Carolinians' thoughts on mask wearing, the future of work from home, sending children to school and camps, vacationing, and other regular activities like attending church and sporting events. Now, we have the link to all the data sets in our show notes, but here are some top-line numbers of 500 South Carolinians who were polled. 75% of the respondents believe masks can prevent the spread of the coronavirus, and more than 70% agree or strongly agree it's okay for businesses, local governments, and the state to require people to wear masks. 60% of those working from home in South Carolina say they plan to continue working from home post-pandemic. Now, to break all this down and more, I spoke with Peter Lamott, Senior Vice President at Chernoff Newman, and Fenton Overdyke, the firm's Vice President of Research. And I opened by asking Fenton Overdyke what he found surprising in this data.
Okay, so in terms of data points, looking at our, you know, our April study versus the July study that we just got out of the field, one of the things that we noticed first is how little concern about coming into contact with the coronavirus or contracting the coronavirus changed in the past couple of months. And I say that because between April and July, cases were spiking. We were seeing record numbers of cases each day. And what we found is that the people that were concerned at the beginning are still concerned, and consumers who weren't concerned about this still aren't. And so as I look to the future, I really don't see this number changing. I think people locked in very early about how concerned they were. And I don't think at this point anything is going to really change their minds.
And then so, Peter, when you look at that, there are some insights here for businesses and how people feel they want to feel more comfortable in a business. How does that work for consumers, broadly speaking, when you look at maybe people who aren't concerned and those who are concerned about this?
Well, as far as businesses are concerned, what it shows is that while those numbers of outside factors such as cases increasing, government mandates, whether they be local or statewide, third-party experts weighing in, both domestic and internationally, opinions aren't changing. So as we continue to see changes in all of those factors, opinions will most likely not change again. And this will have implications for those companies out there that have been committed to a certain communications path. If that's working, you need to keep doing it. Don't second guess what's working for you, because one of the factors that isn't going to change is people's opinions.
So if you're open with how your, you know, cleaning procedures are going, or people are wearing PPE in your restaurants, or you're maintaining social distancing, go ahead and keep doing that regardless of how people might feel one way or the other. Just do it to maintain if you've already been doing those things.
No, specific to that, what we actually found is that consumers say they're more likely to visit an establishment that they see taking this very seriously in terms of having employees wear masks, providing hand sanitizer, if they can see that the establishment is actually enforcing social distancing and limiting the number of people in its facility at any given time. That really does matter to people. It makes them more comfortable. It makes them more likely to come to your place of business and more likely to start spending money and helping the economy move forward.
And then, Fenton, kind of sticking with the economy and looking at it going forward, people still think the worst is yet to come with this as it affects the economy. And obviously, they also think the worst is yet to come with the virus too, which is pretty accurate since we've seen cases spiking higher than ever. We have these increasing death rates. Peter, you can jump in this too, but what does this say about how people feel about the state's response here if they think the worst is yet to come for both of these factors here, the economy and the virus?
We didn't capture anything specific to the state's response. We did capture, though, information. We asked people, if you were required to wear a mask by a business, well, that was one question, by your city or county government or by state government, we found that people, despite, you know, positions on masks and concerns about coming into contact with coronavirus, people are actually very agreeable and very accepting of, you know, such a request, be it by a business, by county or city government, or by state government.
And then, Peter, that being said, how about the impact that could have for government leaders if people are saying the worst is still to come, in terms of maybe they haven't been doing enough to prevent the worst from coming in a way?
Well, here's to Fenton's point, we didn't ask specifically that question. So taking the data that we've talked about, I'll answer that question this way. In looking at the fact that consumers have given permission to both governments and to businesses to make these decisions, whether it's an organization or even a politician, they're always questioning their reputation, let's say. And when they're looking at their reputation and they're hearing such division in the media, the fact is the data supports the idea that most people have given them the permission to make these decisions, to make these mandates, to make their business require a mask or make their town require a mask. The fact is the majority of people are okay with it, despite the division we see online, social media, in the news.
So sometimes these loud voices crowd out what the crowd actually believes, I guess. And that's always kind of the case sometimes in some of these issues, it seems like.
You know it better than anyone in your field.
Yeah, oftentimes you hear a vocal minority that makes a lot of noise that doesn't necessarily represent all of South Carolina.
And just want to see thoughts about how people kind of felt about this. Fenton, we were looking at the first question you guys asked is just how would you describe your level of stress in the household? Has that number changed from April in terms of what people are feeling like? And what is that number right now in South Carolina in terms of how people are feeling about this coronavirus?
So it's very similar to what we saw in July, in that, you know, roughly one in five, about 20% of South Carolina households say that they're under a good deal of stress. We also, though, see an uptick in the number of people who say actually they're feeling pretty good about things. That increased 6 percentage points from 13 to 19. So those who were concerned to begin with and stressed out still are, but we're seeing a little bit of a lift among the rest of the population.
Peter, as a result of all this, you know, I'm working from home more often. A lot of my colleagues are, a lot of people are. You asked a question. There's a question about once the pandemic ends, do you plan to continue working from home?
Yeah.
And the answer was 60% of South Carolinians said yes, they do. So what does that have ramification-wise for, you know, I mean, all factors of business, you know, from real estate to the normal culture that we know as workplace culture? What does that mean for employers?
I think the increase of employees' desires to continue to work from home might be one of the most impactful data points for a business or a business leader coming out of this study. And the reason for that is specifically the adaptation of business that will be required, whether it's an HR policy, how they're hiring, how they're recruiting, how they're incentivizing, the impact it has now on IT security, the fact that your employees are remote and you have to trust that they're doing everything. The fact of just company culture has to shift, let alone the bottom line from supplies to real estate. It is a transformational data point that if it continues going forward, it is going to fundamentally change the way businesses have to operate.
And then Peter, just really quick, Fenton, really quick, looking at sending kids back to school, that's been a top issue this week and one that is only going to heat up more and more as we get closer to the school start dates. A lot of people still seem a little uncomfortable about sending kids back to school. What did your data bear out, and maybe what can policy leaders take away from that?
So we didn't ask specifically about school. We asked about sending children back to daycare, camp, or school. And so it was a blended question, mm-hmm. Not directly pointed at, you know, public education. But with a lot of things, people have concerns. Some people very much in the camp of they're ready to go back. Others, you know, more hesitant.
Gotcha. Yeah. So that's something, again, we're going to see play out on a district by district basis too. So a lot of things up in the air too. And I'm guessing you guys, obviously, we'll see another poll come out in a couple months. Maybe things will change. Maybe they won't. Maybe it'll be worse. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But we appreciate you guys looking into this data for us.
Thank you, Gavin.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
So some really interesting information right there. And just a little tidbit on our way out. According to a new College Reaction Axios poll, 76% of college students say they will return to campus if they have the option, and 66% say they would attend in-person classes. Outside of the classroom, this is interesting, 79% of respondents said they wouldn't attend parties, and 71% said they wouldn't attend sports games if they happen. Unclear if their parents were in the same room when they filled out this poll. I want to start off our medical section with something a bit unexpected and a first for our state. A Charleston County dog has tested positive for SARS-CoV-2. That's the virus caused by COVID-19 in humans. And it became the first animal in the state to test positive for the virus. Clemson University said in a news release that Dr. Boyd Parr, the state veterinarian and director of Clemson Livestock Poultry Health, said a private veterinarian decided to test the dog, which was an 8 or 9 year old shepherd mix, for SARS-CoV-2 after one of its owners was confirmed to have COVID-19. Parr said there continues to be no evidence that pets play a significant role in spreading SARS-CoV-2 to people, and it remains a good idea to restrict contact with your pets and other animals, just like you do with other people, if you are infected with COVID-19. Now, the dog had to be euthanized due to its chronic health condition, Parr said, and you can find a list of all confirmed animal cases in the United States tracked by the USDA in our show notes. Next up, we return to a topic we talked about earlier this week, the state's first cases of multisystem inflammatory syndrome in children, also called MISC, which is associated with COVID-19. Two children under the age of 10, one from the PD and one from the Midlands, were diagnosed with MISC. Symptoms of this include fever, abdominal pain, vomiting, diarrhea, neck pain, rash, bloodshot eyes, and feeling tired. Now again, emergency warning signs of MISC include trouble breathing, chest pain, or pressure that does not go away, confusion, inability to wake or stay awake, bluish lips or face, and severe abdominal pain. Prisma Health infectious disease physician Dr. Robin LaCroix gave an update on MISC earlier this week, including just how worried parents should be about this condition.
We know that transmission from adults to children is the more common way, and parents being able to protect their children from acquiring COVID is the first line of defense. And those are the simple measures, like being sure that they're using avoidance of big crowds, social distancing, being able to mask, hand hygiene, which is very key for children to help protect them against a whole host of respiratory viruses. So I think that parents' first line of defense is to help protect their children. Subsequently, any viral infection has temporarily been associated with Kawasaki, which looks very much like this. So this particular post-viral response is one that I think parents have to be aware of. And certainly, if children have had COVID infection and seemingly recovered and then become ill again, I think them having the index to say, wow, we probably need to get this checked out, is the important key for families to follow.
Hospitalizations from this disease usually last 5 to 8 days if a child has to be treated. And children with pre-existing conditions may have a harder time dealing with this disease. But all children and young adults even are at risk for this condition.
It's part of what we don't understand about this. So the science is still not clear. And when you look at the number of children that we know have subsequently been infected around the world, this is still a very infrequent complication to the infection. So we don't understand if there are children that are more susceptible to this. It seems to transcend a fairly large age group, so it doesn't appear that it affects young children more than school-age children versus adolescents. So there is a wider range. The case definition goes all the way to age 21. So again, that puts us into the young adult category. So there is not a clear distinction to help us predict who might have a problem with this. So I think the message for families is that if their child is sick and becoming more ill and has these symptoms of conjunctivitis, red lips, red tongue, rash, edema, meaning swelling of the hands or feet are particularly weak, lethargic, fatigued, that they should seek medical evaluation of their child just to be sure that we're not progressing into this more systemic, multi-system inflammation.
And parents also need to be aware that COVID-19 presents differently in children, with 50 to 60% of children getting fever and coughs, making it look more like an upper respiratory infection, with sore throat, runny nose, and fatigue being other predominant symptoms. And MISC can also present in children who were asymptomatic with COVID-19 as well. Dr. LaCroix said children only account for 8 to 10% of COVID-19 transmission, which is some positive pediatric-based COVID-19 news as schools consider reopening this fall.
We know that the amount of viral replication with children is lower than that is with adults. So children are not the super spreaders that originally there was some thought that they might be the perpetuators of spread of disease. We know that the children are faring very well when they do get the infection. For the most part, their symptoms are milder and they require less certainly hospital-based treatment. We know that the ability to transmit child to child is much smaller. There have been some reports that the CDC has shared, as well as some other literature reports, where there were infected children in a multi-child environment and no transmission occurred within that multi-child environment, which is somewhat reassuring. So I think that us being sure that as adults we're protecting the children is one of the big components that we need to take forward.
And a reminder as we head out, medical professionals still don't know how much immunity to expect from COVID-19 once someone is infected with the virus, or how long that immunity may last, and how many antibodies are needed to mount an effective response. That being said, people can be even reinfected, which is dimming the hope of natural herd immunity. So if you've gotten COVID-19, you can get it again. Do not let your guard down. This is a very wild virus, my friends. There is still a lot we do not know about it. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Do you still have to go to work? Are you unemployed? Are you a medical professional on the front lines? Tell us if you're going on vacation, what you're doing, what you think about schools reopening this fall. How are you going to send your kids back to school? Let us know. 803-563-7169. Again, leave us your name, where you're calling from, and just your thoughts on what's going on. 1 to 3 minutes, because otherwise you might get cut off. So 803-563-7169. And AT, do we have any new voicemails?
We have a new caller who dubs himself, this is international caller, FYI, who flaunts our timing rules, called back twice. So this is, he dubbed himself Jakarta Tom. Oh. So let's roll the tape.
Let's roll that tape. International tape.
Hello, South Carolina Lead. This is Jakarta Tom, coming to you from Jakarta, Indonesia, where I currently teach school. That's the island nation stretching from Thailand to Australia. Or as I say to my people in Charleston, James Island, and Folly Beach, it's as far away as you can go before you start coming back. Here I and along with most others, we're wearing our masks, physical distancing, and plenty of sanitizer and hand washing. An outing for groceries involves several temperature checks coming and going. Everybody seems to be doing what they can. I'm fortunate to be able to stick to my own spaces, and I get to walk and exercise on the school's track. Keeping the adult beverages to home, occasionally with some small outdoor visits. And with the news of rising cases in Charleston, all y'all, please do the same. Be smart, take care of each other, especially healthcare workers and those most vulnerable. Living so far away, I want to thank the lead for giving me the skinny on what's happening in South Carolina. So thank you. I appreciate the work. Along the lines of appreciation, I want to share an email I got before 2020 kicked off. So this is an email I got from NPR, and it has a graphic. It says, you listened to 4,610 stories with a total of 54,924 minutes of content. And the most played show, South Carolina Lead, You listen to this more than 100% of other listeners. So I got some bragging rights, I guess. But it also showed to me how valuable and how much NPR gives to me and how much I was taking it for granted. So I hit the donate button, and now I'm a sustaining star by donating $25 a month. Based on my numbers, that's 32 cents per hour of content. That's a deal you can't beat with a stick. I encourage other regular listeners to do the same. Support NPR and South Carolina Public Radio. And I know Gavin has been trolling for it. So, Selamat Ulang Tahun, which translates to happy birthday. In honor of the recent July 8th birthday, I have a special Gavin Jackson South Carolina trivia. Did you know Gavin can get a bit nervous about some things? Which of the following scares him the most? A, 100 chicken McNuggets. B, a turtle attempting to cross Highway 17 outside of Myrtle Beach. C, a South Carolina trivia question from Russ McKinney. Or D, another haircut from his dad. Discuss. As always, the correct answer is C. I hope Gavin got a break from the campaign trail and celebrated with some brown liquor.
Brown liquor.
Hopefully, Jimmy Red. And if you don't know, educate yourself. Thanks again for keeping me in the South Carolina loop. Secret message. Gavin isn't scared of Russ McKinney like he is of spiders.
That dude knows everything about us.
Incredible. I mean, for a super listener, definitely needed to. But whoa, what a great breakdown from Tom, Jakarta Tom, with your super listener status. I mean, I've never super given listener. Anyone that, but we've just knighted you super listener status there, Tom. And your sustaining star donation a month. That's great. We appreciate that. That's so critical, especially as we're going through these difficult times. It helps us keep you guys informed, which we love doing. I didn't know which one to pick with the multiple choice selection there. I was going to just say E, all the above, because that's always the answer.
He should have tricked you with an all the above. Yeah.
And I would have definitely picked it. but super awesome. Also, thank you for the birthday shout out. That was really special there, Tom. Awesome. We need more Toms out there, folks.
He's really challenging Roman, who's going to... Where, Dubai?
Yeah, so. We're going to have two international correspondents right now, so totally That's stoked right. about yeah. that. It's great to hear from their perspective. I mean, that perspective, you know, just getting temperature checks,
Multiple
going to the grocery store.
Temperature checks,
you know?
Yeah, that's the big thing.
It's like when we heard from that one listener who was talking about her friend over in London, talking about how things are going over there. So very interesting to get all these different perspectives, because that's we're all in this together. We're a different world right now. So, yeah. I also I want to give a shout out to Will Try 89, who gave us an iTunes review. Everyone, you can do that if you don't want to give us a voicemail. If you don't have anything to add to the voicemail, it's okay. A lot of people are wondering, what should I say? What should I do? Really, there's no wrong answer here, folks. You can give us a call or a great review. They gave us a shout out saying they're happy for 3 pods a week. As you can tell, there's plenty of news, and the situation's only getting worse, as we've seen. So. Yeah, we're on the case until things break, or until I break, whatever happens first.
Until our bodies give out. Yeah.
But I mean, this is the news business. So that's the nature of the beast. That's what I signed up for. But
it's Hollywood, baby.
Yeah, baby. You don't get to broadcast from closets in the low country for free.
That's showbiz, baby.
The glamour. Yeah. I still can't get over it. I mean, that's really, really impressed with Jakarta Tom there.
Jakarta Tom, he's one of our longest relationships, and we just didn't even know
secret
it
message.
Today.
I mean, I completely forgot we did secret messages.
I mean, he set me up for sound effects, yeah, and he did secret messages. Insane.
He played all the right cards. He sure did. And also being a sustaining star, really great. Anything else we want to add, IT? I know we had a little bit of a long show.
Not that much happened with me in the last few days. I stepped in some cat barf with a sock on, and that was pretty awful. But if you know, it's the worst. besides that, no, I'm good.
Is that worse? Is that worse than stepping on like a micro machine or like a Lego?
Okay, it's
really quick.
Equally bad. It's equally bad in a different way.
Sure.
You know, like
squish versus crunch.
It's a little counterintuitive that you'd think you'd want to step on it with a sock as opposed to barefoot, but barefoot is better. It's better to step in cat barf barefoot.
Yeah, it's one more step. No pun.
I'll save one for you next time and you could come test it out. I'll save you two. And I was like, the worst part is I was sitting doing work and I hear the cat. I'm like, there's a cat barfing somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I was like, and if you know, you know. Again, you know what a cat sounds like. And so I was like, then I was searching for it and I was like, damn, I can't find that barf. What the hell? And then I was just walking and I was like, I stepped in.
There you go.
Oh.
There you go.
It was soft and warm and wet and ruined my sock.
Oh, I would have loved that ASMR. I did, speaking of foot situations.
Oh, I, interesting.
When I was down at Edisto, I was floating near a friend's dock. We were all floating down the marsh area, which is fun. But you get close, there's barnacles on the dock, and I just, you know, kicked my foot the wrong way and swiped a couple of them. Got a couple of gashes on my foot. Not the way you want to start your little vacation ups, but luckily we had some water nearby and just washed it out. It was fine. I would just have a little bit of a limp, but you know, that's my sob story for spending a couple days at the beach. There are worse things to do.
Luckily there was water nearby.
Well, I had a hose, so I had like fresh water. I wasn't like floating in the marsh.
Freshy. Yeah, you gotta go fresh.
Waiting for something to come up and bite my foot off, but
Gavin, do you think you could tell the difference ASMR between a tomato sandwich over a sink and stepping on a cat barf in a sock?
Oh my God. Because we're going to find out, folks. And you'll find out in a future episode, but I can, yes. Thanks for listening to the pod, y'all. You don't want to know why, and I can, but I can. And again, show us your appreciation by leaving us a review or a voicemail like our friends have at 803-563-7169. We want to hear from you all. Tell us about your summer delicacies and maybe your trips to the beach or some social distanced vacations you're on. You can also stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at just $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all that great programming your donation helps support. So again, another great streaming service if you need something to check out. It's there for you. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. I think she's omnipresent. She's just like floating in the ether.
She's a disembodied spirit that loves public media.